everyone a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we preview Saturday's Scottish Cup tie against Highland League side Clough. We have your Peterhead Raid 11, and with no game this past weekend, we catch up with co-manager Jordan Brown about the season so far. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me braving the storm again this week is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you there?
Yeah, I'm very well. It's another Monday completed, so can I complain? I'm a week closer to Christmas.
See, you gave me the mother of the other week for mentioning the C word. Now you brought it up.
Yeah, well, you started it for the year, so I thought I'd just continue. Somebody told me it was 10 weeks till Christmas, so there you go.
Oh, Christ, okay.
So that means it's 9.5 weeks till we do our Christmas shopping.
Yes, roughly.
Maybe.
Obviously, horrendous conditions over the weekend. How was it in Peterhead itself?
The Friday, it was windy, but it certainly wasn't as bad over the weekend as what... you know, likes Aberdeen and just south of Aberdeen's had it. I think we've got off pretty much, you know, rather lightly. Yeah, couldn't complain, but obviously the devastation that is left, sort of like Inverurie, Kemnay, south of Aberdeen, I think they've taken the fair brunt of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a few shots of Bodham, Herber as well. Took a brunt of it as well. So, yeah, there's a few, I think fortunately for me, I was off last week on holiday, so I was in the drive and they were are gone their way for work, so it was just as well. Although I did get into Tesco this morning on my way into work, and the shelves were absolutely empty. Nae milk, nae loaves, nothing. Shelves were absolutely empty because they couldn't get any deliveries up, which is just shows you how bad the infrastructure is up in this neck of the woods.
Oh yeah, the infrastructure is certainly not the greatest, but it just shows you the impact that a storm can have, whether it be 36, 48 hours that we've been battered, and obviously shelves are still to get refilled, you know, as the time of recording, things are still happening. So, yeah, it's difficult times, but, you know, we're thankful for these lorry drivers that are still trying to take provisions into the shops, even as we speak.
And, obviously, the bad weather meant that Saturday's game was called off. It was called off on Friday afternoon, which is... you can only applaud everybody involved for doing that. Obviously, it was clearly the right decision not to go ahead with the game, given how the conditions were going to be, you know, sort of late Friday night, Saturday morning, and avoiding any shenanigans with the travelling support can do.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I think the SPFL, Stenish Muir, Peterhead, the officials involved, I think everybody got the decision right. I know that they decided to have a blanket sort of covering with, you know, the teams in this area that wouldn't be playing games. Just wanted to briefly touch on it. That's the positive sign. I'm not sure whether you've seen it. Inverness were due to go down the A9 to play Morton, but St Mirren had to go all the way up to Ross County. And the St Mirren team were there on the Friday night, and then the game got cancelled on the Saturday morning. So whilst we're praising what they've done, you just think that's another part of, okay, it's not a newer division, but it's still within Scottish football, and that's something that I think there is progress being made on call-offs, but I still think we've got a long way to go to making sure that players, staff and supporter safety is the number one paramount decision.
I mean, nobody wants games to be called off, but, you know, if it's going to be, you know, affecting, you know, how we get down there, or, you know, potentially, and the weather warnings were there, risk to life in parts as well, you're travelling through that, you don't want to be doing things like that.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, they do go on about, and rightly so, you know, safety of spectators, officials, players, everything. And that should be at the forefront of their decision making. And I do think when you're asking teams to, you know, and I partly get if it's more localised, fair dues, but, you know, you're asking teams to travel the length of the country and supporters as well. And there was somebody on BBC Radio Scotland that, you know, had this Ross County St Mirren game gone ahead. And someone on the radio had said, well, why does the supporters need to go? There's a red weather warning. Yeah, with respect, supporters will always go and follow their club. It's up to the government bodies, the SPFL, to make that decision and say, no, the game's not going ahead. And yeah, whilst we're praising the decision that we had for League 2 with Sinishmuir and Peterhead, I do think there's a wee bit of work to do on it to make sure safety is the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's obviously St Mirren's decision to travel up on the Friday and to be there on the Saturday morning. You're not expecting supporters to travel up or travel down the night before a game, if for every game.
Yeah, exactly. And I do get why St Mirren have gone up, because they're weirdly, if they were late for the game, they'd probably get more. What is it? They'd probably get in trouble more so than actually being there the night before and calling the game off. So, yeah, I can see why St Mirren had travelled up the night before, but you just think that common sense decision of, well, could they have called the game off on the Friday night before the team had travelled, or whilst they were en route and said, look, the game's not going to go ahead. But, yeah, you know, I think there is a wee bit of work to do there.
And the way the technology is these days, you know, we're all given the warnings in good time and plenty of times to organise things, so there's no real reason why these games can't be called off at a reasonable time.
Yeah, I think that we got the notification, you know, about 3 o'clock on Friday that the Peterhead game was off, and you know that's ample notice. It's 24 hours before the game. It saves travelling. And as you said, with the technology we've got these days, we all knew what the weather forecast would be, and then the Met Office, you know, upgraded a longer period within the region for a red warning. You know, it was absolutely the right decision to call the game off.
So, for a bit of fun, we thought we'd do a Peterhead Rain 11. And yes, we did steal the idea from other people, but hey-ho, that's what happens when you stick things on the internet. So we were looking for, you know, Peterhead players, etc. Now, there were one or two who sort of got involved and got the Peterhead bit kind of incorrect, so we've bypassed them. They have been sort of mentioned on the comments and the posts, so we'll bypass them. But there is a few have come in, so we'll just rattle through some of these. We've got David, not McCracken Weather. So David McCracken, obviously. I'll give you this one. See if you can guess where this one came from. Dean Cowie, because he's a puddle stinker. What do you think come in with that one?
Well, it's got to be Graham.
You'll be getting out of that ban.
Am I right? Was it Graham?
It was Graham, aye. You'll be getting
another... We'll see him in a week's time.
I'll be getting another Facebook ban. We've got Naya Rain. Robbie Winters. So obviously, it's Robbie Winter. Kevin Rain, which I think was the one that we'd given as a... Oh, we had Jim Rain, of course. Rory Rain Mac Alistair.
Okay, yeah.
Ryan Strachan, Stevie Hurricane. There's Stevie King.
Yeah.
Bobby Rain Man. Is that a Bobby Man?
Yeah. Not bad.
Robbie Rayside. Simon Ferry cancelled.
Quite appropriate.
I think the best scene, though, and it's so obvious, and I can't believe I didn't think of this scene myself, but Robbie McGill.
Oh,
it's so obvious. Yeah, Gail,
I've not got that written down.
No,
so, yeah.
I didn't have that written down either, but it's so obvious. Baines, did you come up with?
Now, you asked for a couple of names. You didn't say they had to be good. So you've got to give me that one. So I came up with Rain Sutherland, mm-hmm. rather than Shane Sutherland. Ryan Dow and Poor. But the one that I did, I was particularly impressed myself with Monsoon Robertson.
Oh, aye, yes, okay.
Instead of Mason Robert. I went with that was my favourite, Ian. But yeah, you said that I had to give you a few. You didn't say that to be good. So.
Yeah. Like what we.
Let's see if you can top it.
Well, no, I can't. I got Grant Unsavoury Weather.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The only one I could think of for the current squad was Jordan Armstrong Wind.
Oh, yeah, see, I tried to do one with the current squad and I couldn't figure it out.
It's maybe too clever for me.
Yeah.
Maybe too clever for my own good. Maybe that's what it is. We're wasted on this podcast, that's what we're... I say wasted. Well, I say wasted. You got to take that in some kind of context, obviously.
You can take that how you wish. Yeah.
Well, exactly. So yeah, that was it. It was good. So thanks for everybody for putting in their suggestions. There's no prizes. Just we're just doing it for a bit of fun. So hopefully we don't need to do that again anytime soon. And hopefully Saturday's game goes ahead because we can't have another game off surely. Because of the weather, but coming up, we've got a quick chat with Jordan Brown, co-manager. He's going to tell us, you know, how things have been going in the last few months, in particularly in the last quarter. We obviously spoke about the first quarter a couple of weeks ago. In terms of, you know, the progress that Ryan and Jordan's making, how would you sort of rate that and you know, the progress that we're making?
I think we're making, you know, leaps and bounds. We spoke about the disappointment of last season, obviously the relegation. It can sort of go one or two ways. You've seen that people outside the club were tipping us to say a really bad season. And, you know, like guys within the club have said already, we're only one quarter in. But, you know, if somebody had said at the start of the season you'll get 19 points for the first quarter, you'd be sitting top of the table, you'd be through the next round of the cup. And both of them, yeah, they'd have bitten your hand off for it. And I think the general atmosphere around the club just now is much better as well. So, yeah, everything's heading in the right direction. And I think we're under, you know, good hands with Ryan, Jamie, Jordan and the background staff as well.
Okay, delighted to say joining us now on the podcast is co-manager Jordan Brown. Jordan, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Hi guys, yeah, good to be back on. No, I'm all good. Yeah, again, a lot's changed since I last spoke to you, but no, all for the better. So no, good to be on.
Yeah, you've sort of taken a lot on since you've turned 30. A lot of these things have, like, some maybe would be sort of stretched out over a period of time, but you just seem to try and get it done in the short space of time.
It's funny, someone said to me the other day, oh, I thought you were fitting all that life events into last year, and then this year's just kind of, how can you fit any more in? And then it's went and done that. So, no, embracing it all, and it's all good and positive, like I say. So, no, and it's keeping me busy, to say the least.
And how is life as a dad? I know it's the early stages, the early stages are still there. So how's it going?
Yeah, no, I think I have to heap praise on my missus because she's been absolutely brilliant, you know. She's doing majority of the night feeds and things, so it's all good. Like you touched on there, I've started a new job as well, so I'm back into the kind of the day-to-day stuff as well. So, no, it's been good, and yeah, wee Sophia's just brilliant, and all the family is, yeah, over the moon.
The novelty's still there, though, isn't it?
What's that?
I'm saying the novelty's still there.
It very much is, yeah, very much is, for sure.
We'll come back to you in 6 months' time and see how you're getting on.
Yeah, I'll have even less hair left than I do now, that's for sure.
So, obviously, Saturday's game was postponed, I think probably quite rightly, because of the weather and things like that. Was it a decision you agreed with?
Yeah, for sure, and I think to get the call on the Friday, you know, for them to call it then was quite good. It was speaking to a few folk at Friday lunchtime, and to be fair, we were in, it was a bit strange, wasn't it? Because up here wasn't too bad, I think, but obviously you've seen the forecast and that, and I don't think we'd have quite realised how bad it was going to be, you know, especially between that patch between Aberdeen and Dundee, really. So it kind of ruled out quite quickly, and then when the club got in touch with us, got in touch with Ken, and Ken gave me a phone about 2:30 on Friday to kind of say they were doing a kind of blanket cancellation of all the games up here, including Aberdeen. You knew for then it was, for sure, it was the right decision, and it allowed us, yeah, to give a good heads up, because I think previous times we've maybe been left hanging on to the Saturday morning. So, no, it was good and gave us, it obviously wasn't what we wanted. We wanted to play, of course, but it was a good enough notice to kind of give us a chance to probably, well, we did give the boys a weekend off. You know, it's probably the first one we've had this season because of the cup runs we've had. So, no, it was good and looking forward to kind of getting back into it again tomorrow night.
So what was it, just the kind of the process with that then? Does the SPFL come to the clubs, or is it a police advisory thing, or how does it work?
I think, to be fair, I think Ken and the guys were in touch quite regularly with the SPFL and the police on Friday morning, when obviously all this was kind of kicking off, even Thursday. So I think the communication was quite open. And yeah, I don't know who made the official call. It was maybe the police on the travel kind of restrictions that were then going to be in place to do that. So, yeah, the club were very, I think it was, yeah, both Stenny and ourselves, and then obviously the wider range of people like the SPFL and the police were pretty good on this occasion, you would have to say.
And obviously a day off, unexpected day off. How did you and the guys spend it?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was unexpected, and I think as the new babies here, we've had visitors every single day, so we didn't actually have any visitors on Saturday, and it was the rain was chucking down, so it was good enough to spend inside. But I did get out to try out that new paddle tennis. Played that and managed to get one over Jason, so it's always the day was a winning day.
So obviously it was a good day for you all in all then, eh?
Yeah, definitely. And I know the football was good in the TV as well, and then obviously results kind of that were coming through, you would say, went our way. We finished the day top of the league, which was great, not having played. Obviously still got to do our bit, but yeah, that was good to see that coming through. Obviously still early as well, but it's good to stay top of the pile.
Yeah, I was going to say that obviously the results went our way. We've got a gap there now with a game in hand, potentially to go a gap, to create that gap even further.
Yeah, I think that was a message to the boys on Friday, was that, like, look, the game is off, have a weekend to recover and keep yourselves ticking over, and we've now got three exciting home games to come, you know, which is a great incentive for us to go and get some, obviously, this weekend's the cup, but to get some home points on the board again the 2 weekends after that, and obviously Stenny go to Elgin tomorrow night. I don't know if that'll hold up with the weather or not, so, yeah, that'll be an interesting one to follow as well to see how that goes.
And obviously we'll now face a midweek trip down there, though, so that's a slight disadvantage. Any sort of ideas when that game's going to be played now?
I think they are hoping to do it sooner rather than later. So I wouldn't imagine in the next week or 2 weeks, but I think hopefully at some point in November we might get that one done. Like you say, it's not ideal midweek, especially for all of us that are, well, the whole team really that's working, probably apart from Aaron Reid, I think, can think off the top of my head. But yes, Stenny isn't the worst one in the world. We would be sitting here with a very different opinion if it was a Stranraer. Yeah, Stenny's okay, I think, and it's obviously going to be a tough game no matter when you play them, but midweek will be something different. And again, yeah, it's not too far for the Glasgow boys either, so yeah, it's not a bad one all in all.
How big a challenge is it, Jordan, with players, we'll say, if they're working to go to a midweek game compared to a Saturday game?
It is, to be fair, Martin. Yeah, definitely. I think just the whole prep, you know, when to travel, when to eat, days off work can be... I'm obviously in a new job, and it's new to me for the first time in 10 years, you know, so I'll probably need to take a half day that day, whereas previous, you know, you could maybe... Some guys can work their hours back or whatever. It depends what time the bus is leaving. So, yeah, I think it is definitely more difficult. Some guys as well, the start time, you know, some guys will be starting. I know, like said, Jason, that start at 7 o'clock in the morning. I think Jack Brown's even earlier. So, I mean, you take that into consideration as well. So, but again, I'm sure Stenny or whoever you're playing have got the same kind of situation.
And you mentioned to me earlier on in the week that you switched the training to Tuesday, Wednesday last week. Was that intentional because you maybe thought the weather was going to play havoc with that, or was that something you'd always planned anyway?
Yeah, I think I wish I could say it was intentional, and we might have done that, to be fair, but in the last few weeks, just purely because of training slots, we've actually had to change the Thursday session in Aberdeen to a Tuesday, and we are trying to manage it, but you wouldn't believe how difficult it is just to get a slot anywhere. So, it's not ideal, I would say, for us guys up here, because we've obviously do our session on the Tuesday, try and keep it as intense as we can, and then regroup and go again the Wednesday as a whole group, when you would hope the session tempo and everything about it would be better as a group. But yeah, I would say the more experienced guys in the team, myself, Rory, Ryan, Scott, Stu, off the top of my head, you know, probably mostly up here, and we're maybe the ones that struggle to go again immediately the day after. So the Glasgow boys still train on a Thursday. So yeah, I mean, it's just situation at the moment where it is for kind of locations to and venues. It's a nightmare.
Does that change the type of training that you do with it, being back-to-back, rather than it being a Thursday doing training, maybe looking at the Saturday, like, tactical side, but doing it Tuesday, Wednesday, it seems, you know, it's pretty quick, full-on, 2 days back-to-back?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, at the start of the season, we're doing Wednesday, Thursday, which is working a wee bit better, because we'd have the more intense session on the Wednesday as a group, and then we'd have a more technical session on the Thursday, just with us, yeah, with us North boys and the South boys. But again, the other side to that is that we now train Tuesday to Wednesday, and everyone's got kind of 2 full days to recover for the Saturday. So yeah, there's pros and cons with it all. Ideally, you would probably keep the Tuesday, Thursday, but it's just impossible with slots in Dundee. And like we touched on before, we didn't want to be asking the boys to travel at half eight at night, you know, to train. And then that has, again, a negative effect. So all these things. And we're continually looking to improve them. You know, if it isn't working at any time, then we will look to change. But the Dundee one really is a deciding factor. And at the moment, the Wednesday slot at 7 till 9 is kind of all we can get. And even looking at changing that, to be fair, over the winter, because the conditions aren't that great at all times, you know, down there outdoor. But there's just no availability. The only really indoor place that is really for us would be the RPC, where we did used to train. But again, it's fully booked out pretty much right the way through. So, yeah, we need to just kind of continually manage that one.
Talking about the bad weather, the game against Dundee United, obviously, conditions weren't that great. How was it for you guys actually playing in it?
I think it actually was better than we thought it was going to be, wasn't it? At some points, like throughout the week, we're looking at it and it was going to be horrendous. And I think when we kind of got there, it wasn't quite as bad as we thought. Obviously, there was the showers and that came on. But yeah, I think the conditions that, and I think the night time always helps kind of settle it a bit more, does it? You know, if it was in the day and it was a bit more exposed, it wasn't too bad for us. So there was no real complaints on the weather that night. I think we've seen it worse.
What was your overall thoughts on that game, looking back on it now?
Yeah, I think we've had time to kind of reflect on that. There was a bit of raw disappointment after the game, to be honest, you know, but I think that shows, again, we keep saying, but it shows where we've came from. You know, we're disappointed to kind of get beat 2-0 from the team that are really, and they see the evidence on Saturday again. They went to Partick Thistle and won 5-0, you know, so, I mean, it's no disgrace there, I think, apart from the first 10, 15 minutes where we tried to contain them, but we couldn't get out, you know, we couldn't get up the pitch, and then we changed it. We managed to identify that and change it pretty early. It allowed us to get out, and then, look, second half, I think I watched Hamish's chance back a few times, and how it doesn't go in, I don't know. You know, I think it hits two or it's quite difficult to actually see what happens with it. And then chances one's a great move and a great effort, really. And if that goes in, it's fine margins. You've got the other end, and I think the quality of someone like Tony Watt, you know, he's whipped one into the top corner, and then it's kind of game over after that. But again, I think after that, we could have chucked the towel in as well, but I think we've kind of still made sure it was a respectable scoreline.
What was your thinking for changing the formation at the start of the game to a more sort of 4-5-1 as opposed to the 4-4-2 we had been playing?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the plan to have Jinky and Shanks playing right wing back and left wing back anyway, that's for sure. And actually, that night, talking about the weather, I think the wind normally goes down the way, so if we're looking at it from the dugout, the wind would be going, you know, down, but it was actually going the other way, so it kind of threw us a bit straight away. But then the idea, obviously, was when we played them at Tannadice, they're really good movement, middle to front, and I think the rotations and stuff are excellent. So, yeah, the idea was to try and get Shanks and Jinky a bit more closer to Rory, but obviously they managed to pin us back quite early, especially with kept us in. The idea was that we would get up the park a bit more and we'd be able to have our starting positions a bit higher and be brave, not just on the ball, but off the ball as well. But look, when a team as good as that come and start playing it about, it's difficult, and I think that's when, we needed to kind of revert back to what we've been doing.
Did the early goal change anything for you?
I think, of course, that did a bit. I think if you get through that first period unscathed, it's what you're after, is it? And it's the message. But and the way it kind of came about, I think straight away everyone, I think, was looking to see. I think probably disappointed with Stu, but I think when you see it back, I know it's a long way out. I don't think no one in the ground actually thought it was in either, did they? It kind of rippled behind the goal, and there was no real celebration. But no, and I think Stu's made a great save before that, and he's made a couple after it. So I think he's really been excellent for us. So, I mean, he's more than made up for if there was any doubt around that goal.
It shows how far we've come in the last few months, though, does it? As you said just a minute or two ago, we're disappointed that we've lost to arguably what is a Premiership side, really, with Parkway being on paper.
It is, yeah, and you look at boys like Glenn Middleton, you know, people forget he's playing the Champions League for Rangers a few years ago, so, I mean, these guys are right top players and should arguably, like you said, be playing Premier League football.
You mentioned the chances for Hamish and Shanks as well, but Danny Strachan had one right on half-time as well. Again, one that gets blocked by a couple of defenders, that goes in, it completely changes the complex state of the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure, and I think what we've said all season as well, like apart from Dundee United, obviously, and then I think Stranraer, not including the kind of via play games, but we've been well in every game, you know, there's not been a kind of I know Stranraer was two, but we got it back to one. And Dundee United, like, we kept them to one, you know, and I didn't think that, yes, he had a couple of good saves, but the two goals he scored from outside the box, and Danny has a chance. So, yeah, we're staying in games and giving ourselves chances. Yeah, Danny was a bit unlucky, probably. He actually kind of took it quite well, and then just the shot was blocked. It was maybe just good defending.
Tell us about the Douglas Ross incident, because we were a bit kind of baffled as to if it was going on. I think you were about to be coming on as a sub, and then he just sort of wanders by and goes up the tunnel.
Aye, very, very strange, to be honest. No, nothing said. I mean, if I'd have known that, I would have kept my trousers and jacket on for 5 minutes longer. I didn't really know what was going on myself, to be honest. He never really said, and then obviously it was changed. But yeah, I'm not sure. Dan McFarlane, to be fair, and the fourth official was actually quite good at speaking the whole game, but not much from Douglas Ross and the referee. But I thought, to be fair, Dan would just be ready to go on, you know, as a linesman. So I don't know why it took so long. Maybe it was communication. Obviously, they're wired up and stuff, are they? But yeah, I don't know why it took so long. It was the worst thing that could have happened, was it, at that time of night?
The coldest night of the year as well.
Exactly. So yeah, me and Adam were standing there, and yeah, not really sure what was going on, but yeah, it was a bit strange.
It just sort of killed the momentum of the game as well. We were sort of, although by that time we were 2-0 down, we were still sort of in it at that stage. Yeah. I just think that just kind of killed the momentum for us at all.
No, it did for sure. And I think, like you say, it went a bit flat, didn't it? And I think after that was, they maybe had a couple of chances quite quickly after that, but then we managed to kind of get a bit of rhythm back again to finish the game out.
We'll get quickly some injury updates for you. Obviously, we know it, Andy McCarthy would have been missing, I guess, Saturday's game. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, so, I mean, Andy actually got through some of the session on Wednesday night, which was a big bonus for us. Very restricted by Donal, and everyone's concerned, you know what I mean? Because I think it's a shoulder, and like we said, it's one that, especially someone like Andy, you know, the way he plays, he likes to kind of get close to players and role players and stuff. So, yeah, we were concerned, but then he managed the session on Thursday, which isn't so much a contact session for the boys down the road. So, yeah, we were probably in a position where he probably would have played Saturday, which was great. But again, having the game off does give us a bit of a time to recover now. And we, with the game this weekend, obviously the Scottish Cup, it's one that we must need to get through, you know. But it gives us maybe an opportunity not to take the absolute risk on someone like that. But we'll see how it goes.
Who would win in a fight between Donal and Andy McCarthy then? Because I wouldn't want to be messing with Donal, I'll tell you that.
No, it would be a good fight. I think Andy would win maybe verbally, but I'm sure Donal physically.
And we're going to be missing Hamish for a few weeks as well. What's the update on him?
Yeah, so obviously the way that it's been kind of under the radar, obviously, with how it's been. I think everyone was probably wondering why Hamish was on the bench every week. And to be fair, we were having a laugh with him, you know. The impact he was having off the bench was incredible. So, look, everyone knows Hamish is one of the best players, not just at Peterhead, but probably in the league, you know. So, and it was important for him to feel right. I mean, he obviously, I've had that injury myself, and coming back, you're having such a high. You know, he had that against Partick, and he played. We'd probably try to protect him in the via play, but since then, I think he played, you know, most of the games in almost 90 minutes in every one. So he just, when he's had that high, he just had a bit of a lull, you know, and he was maybe feeling his knee slightly wasn't right. So yeah, we made the decision to look after him. We reduced the schedule down to one training session a week, and he was going back to see his surgeon again. So he's seen the surgeon, got an MRI, and yeah, there was a slight impingement in his knee, so we managed to get that up quite quickly. I think it was only 2 weeks before he got it that we knew about it, you know, so it was quite good that he could get it that quick. And yeah, he got it last, what are we on now, Monday, he got it last Tuesday, and we were obviously due to see him on Saturday there, but haven't seen him. But from speaking to him, it's all went well, and he's feeling kind of some immediate relief, but I'm sure it'll, we'll know for sure how that settles over the next few weeks. But yeah, the timescale on that from Donal and the experts is probably about 4 or 6 weeks, but we shall see how that goes.
And a quick update on Conor Duffy. I know he's going to be missing for the remainder of the season. Is he close to getting his op?
Yeah, he's got his pre-op date with the surgeon scheduled for the end of this month. And then he should, fingers crossed, get that in the next couple of weeks following that. But I mean, he's been working hard with kind of some guys some physio guys down the road and to do as much prehab as he can. Obviously, with it being a bit of a complex one, it's not just a case he can just hop on the surgery table, you know, and get it done. So, no, hopefully the more work he's been doing now, like Hamish did last year, you know, Hamish never got his op for maybe a couple of months after it was done. And the more work he'd done beforehand, the stronger he'll be after. So, yeah, that's the latest on Duth. And to be fair, he's been in contact with all the boys quite regularly as well, which is great.
You've mentioned that Donald there a few times. I want to mention, can I get your takes on your staff you've got now as well? Obviously, you've got Jamie in as a coach. You mentioned at the manager Q&A that you've got Colin McDonald doing a bit of scouting for you as well, and you've got Finlay Grant doing performance analysing as well. Are these all these little things going to give you the kind of edge? Are these the new sort of ways that management is going?
Yeah, I'd hope so. I mean, that's what me and Ryan have always talked about, you know, since we first got the job, was trying to get these things maybe behind the scenes in place, and whether they're improving us by 1% or 99%, you know, I think that's what we're definitely after. And yeah, you can see that every one of the people you've just mentioned, they have added value to us, you know, and really helped us. We feel that, I think we've also got a massive, you know, fear of failure, which is the last thing you want to do. So you want to put everything in place, kind of prep and all these things properly for the boys mainly, you know, to give them the greatest chance of performing on a Saturday, and that's the main aim. And all these wee things that you mentioned there, we'd hope in the grand scheme of things are all helping.
And does it give you and Ryan a bit more confidence as well to know that you're getting this information for these guys rather than try to, you know, do it on your own?
Yeah, definitely. I think we also said at the start, you know, if we can get a network, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well, that can support, then it'll help. I mean, you look at all the clubs nowadays, I think, you know, I know a lot of them are maybe volunteers, you know, down the road, it's maybe easier to get these people on board that do the kind of social media and videography and all that kind of stuff for them. But up here, it's great. As many people as we can get like that are, and yeah, like you say, we know the likes of Callum. He was keen to help us out, which was great. Now we've played everyone once, you know, that scout reports were invaluable to us, you know. And then yeah, building that network on and off the pitch is just helping us all really. Helping me and Ryan to kind of free up our mind, you know, to deal with as much as the football on a Saturday does, you know. Training wise, me, Jim and Ryan have great debates on a Wednesday, every Wednesday, what we're going to do at night. So, I mean, all that's good and healthy, and we're all learning all the time, and that's the most important thing.
How important has Jamie been in the dugout with you? Because obviously you've done a lot more work in the dugout with Jamie than Ryan has, obviously, in the first quarter. How good's he been at bouncing ideas and giving you the support?
Yeah, good. He's strong-minded and has his own views, which is great, you know. So we both... we both have an input and he's great. Yeah, he is, like you say, to bounce off, and he's obviously got, even though he's I think he's 27 or whatever, you know, he's got good experience and obviously with his main focus being coaching as well, he's sometimes got different views and opinions that maybe we don't see because we've been used to obviously playing, you know. So I think yeah, for sure it's been good having him there. And then on the rare occasion where this season, to be fair, where we both played, there's never a doubt that there's never a doubt over Jamie on the side on his own.
You mentioned we've played everybody once. We've gone through the first quarter. 19 points is what we've picked up. You mentioned again at the Q&A you just had a target in mind. Was 19 points in and around where you were looking for?
Yeah, I think so. I think we maybe had to... We obviously had the target at the start of the season, and then I think someone mentioned the other day, it was maybe Andy, you know, that when we was on TV getting interviewed the other day, I think we had that two defeats, you know, at Spartans and Stranraer, and it probably allowed us to kind of reset where we wanted to be, you know, and I think we were on 7 points at the time with four to play or whatever, and that, the target ended up being 19, you know, and we managed to get that four wins. I think the first one was hugely key. I think that Shanks penalty against Bonnie Riggs, probably arguably the biggest moment in our season so far, you know, that last minute one that we got our kind of monkey off the back with a home win. And then yeah, the boys have been excellent. It's a great group on and off, and I think it's shown at the moment. And we've demanded, we said, you know, you want to improve through the quarters, but I think 19 is a very, very, very solid number at the moment.
Well, if you get 19 points every quarter, you're going to end up with 76 points, I think it is, which is the total that we won the title with back in 2014. So it's a decent target. But I think we mentioned it, Marcel and Martin, a few weeks ago about how tight this league can be. I mean, realistically, do you think 76 is a decent figure to get, or do you think because everybody's going to be taking sort of points off each other, a winning target might be a lot lower?
Yeah, I think we did do our homework. I don't have the numbers to hand just now, but we've done all that reviews kind of pre-season. You know, we looked at the last 10 years, and like you say, I think we won at 76. I think maybe only one or we got beat. Did the season that Montrose beat us by a point, I think we also had 76, and I think that was a bit of a unique season when they got the 77. I think maybe one other team's had maybe over 80. But apart from that, like you say, and I think the competitiveness in the league this year, I think you see again Saturday, like Spartans beating Dumbarton, you know, and I know a lot of people fancy Dumbarton, but Spartans are a really good team. So again, yeah, teams taking a lot of points off each other. There'll be ups and downs all season, and I'm sure it will be tight. And I think I'd be surprised if 76 didn't win it, to be fair. But I think we just need to take it. Like you say, it's quarter one. We've got three more to go. You know, you've got to take the small steps and look to improve and gel week on week. I think I mentioned there the two games that we did lose. I think people forget during that time Shanks was suspended and we were in the process of bringing Rory in. So again, we've evolved, and we need to keep evolving with the way we're playing.
To call two losses a blip is someone compared to what we were going through last season, but. You know, after the Stranraer game, what sort of changed for you guys that you end up being sort of four unbeaten in the league, five overall?
Yeah, I think it was just allowed, and then we'd never had the league game obviously the week after, which allowed us to go to Annan and just make a few changes. Obviously, we changed the kind of formation and maybe slightly the style. You know, everyone wants to play the best style in the world, of course you do, and I think we've done that quite well pre-season in the Via play. Even the first couple of games, I think East Fife and Clyde were really, really good. But then at times, you know, when it is getting sticky, you've got to kind of roll the sleeves up and be a team that was difficult to break down. We felt at Stranraer, obviously, yes, we did change the formation, but we were easy to play through. They had way more chances than we would like. You know, we'd like more control in games, especially against teams in our league. So I think the Annan game, we went back to real basics. You know, it was the first time Rory and Chance were on the pitch together. Obviously, I played myself on the right side, which gave us experience. Joe McGee played in the middle, had the experience. Ryan played. So just the experience there we had and really more compact than we'd been. And then we took that in the Bonnerigg game the week after, you know, and again, it just shows you the attitude and the application of all the boys. I mean, Jack and Hamish came off the bench that day and made a difference for us. So, it was great. And even Scott as well, who was great through that period. You know, he was obviously out of the team, not because he wasn't really playing well, but just because of the way it worked. You know, it was the first time I think we could have were able to field the same team. You know, I think since the first game of the season, you obviously had Duffy's injury, you had Shank suspended after we'd won. So, yeah, it was just keeping that consistency. And I think we've tried to do that through the last five games, barring the Dundee United one.
And it's really becoming a squad game as well. You mentioned, you know, players coming off the bench, players now getting starts. Jordan Armstrong, for example, Caleb Goldie's now been in the starting line for a few weeks, not because they're bad players, but just because the guys in front of them are playing well.
Yeah, and it's tough for us. I don't like it. I don't like telling these boys they're not playing, you know, and I don't like not using them. I think Wardy's another one, you know, who was excellent earlier in the season. So yeah, these guys, and they're all contributing, and it is good. And what we'd said from day one, we need a squad. You know, there's no point. I think we've all spoke about last season enough. But you're looking around the bench last season, there was nothing really there. Not being disrespectful or that, but there just wasn't the quality there. And now we're having to leave players like myself unused on the bench. You know.
Is there any of the sides surprised you so far in terms of they were better than you were expecting to be?
I think the likes of, I don't think Spartans were surprised because we watched them, we'd had them watch, you know, the end of last season when they were going through the kind of playoff process and you knew they'd be like a right, like every team that's came up, you know, you even go from Cove to Kelty and then Spartans and Bonnyrigg as well. I actually thought Bonnyrigg were good against us, quite obviously again just that mentality of really being together probably for a few years, which makes a difference. And it's funny because Stranraer, probably the team we struggled the most against, and now they're probably struggling the most, you know, in the league. So Yeah, I think like we've touched on, I think the league will be up and down all season, and teams will go on different runs. And I've always said when we were in kind of League One over the years, when we're doing really well, I think it's all about timing the runs we go on. You know, if we can hit a run at the right time, then you can be looking up the way. If you're on a streak of losing, then you'll soon find yourself probably 3 or 4 places down the league.
We are in Scottish Cup duty on Saturday. Clark come to town for the cup game. Is this an opportunity for you to maybe rotate the squad a little bit, or will you still be trying to play your strongest team as you possibly can?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, like I touched on earlier, not being disrespectful, you know, but it's a game that we need to be looking at winning. And like we said right from the start about the squad, like we don't see. Yes, of course, you're going to have a consistent team that's maybe playing and on the park every week winning, but we don't see anyone in our team that strictly weakens us, you know. So I think it's only fair that these boys have an opportunity in the team. But I mean, it's early days, you know. We've not trained yet this week, so we'll see how the training goes and see how the squad is Friday. But yeah, we'd hope whatever team we had in the pitch Saturday would be getting us through to the next round.
We'll obviously be heavy favourites. Does that play a part? Because obviously the last few years we've never been sort of heavy favourites for games. We might have been favourites for some games, but we've never been probably heavy favourites. Does that sort of play on your mind a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's what we spoke about a lot this season, is mentality. You know, it's been unusual for some of the boys to kind of be coming to games and being favourites to win games. I think arguably we've only had that really against Clyde in the last wee period, where we'd maybe be favourites at home. And again, the team talk will probably be a complete flip on its head from Dundee United. You know, we need to be professional and we need to be make sure that, just like we were at Elgin against Elgin, you know, it needs to be at that level, no matter who's on the pitch. So no, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
They've also got after a poor start, no wins in the league yet, changed their manager as well. These are all obviously things that it will play into our hands, but you know, they're expected to come here and I guess be battered a little bit. They've got nothing to lose. Is that something you're going to have to keep an eye on?
Yeah, for sure. And we're doing our usual prep. We're speaking to a couple of Highland League managers yesterday. You know, doing a bit of homework on them. I know it's a bit false because, like you said, they appointed a new manager last night. And but the likes of they've played Banks of D, you know, in the last 3 weeks and drew with them, I think, since they had the change in manager. So yeah, we'll do our usual homework, give them the rightful respect. And but like you say, yeah, we've got to be professional looking into the game as getting through the next round, no matter how we do it, you know, whether it is comfortable or whether it's not, whether it's a battle, we've got to work hard for that.
Obviously, because of the relegation last season, we're in round two instead of round three this year, so you've got to get through round two and round three, and then obviously potentially look at, you know, a big money-spinning tie in the fourth round.
Yeah, for sure, and that's always the target in this cup, you know. I suppose something we've not really done since, well, in my seasons, really, in the Scottish Cup is kind of get a decent run. I think it was through the likes of, I think it was Aloe and Stranraer a couple of years, and it never really got off. So we got some good runs in the League Cup and obviously the Challenge Cup, but the Scottish Cup's one that we probably, apart from, was it a couple of years ago, we obviously played Dundee on the TV where we're unlucky. It just shows you the draw is key for that. You know, I think that year we played, what was it, Civil Service Strollers, you know, in one of the rounds, and you give yourself a chance. But yeah, first and foremost, got to win Saturday and then hopefully look forward to a third round draw where, again, you're just hoping to hopefully be at home, you know.
Jordan, pleasure to have you on again, as always. Good to talk to you. We are obviously going to try and catch up with you again at some point during the season. We'll maybe get Ryan on, or maybe get Jamie on as well, and see what they say about you instead of you talking about them. Best of luck for Saturday and obviously for the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Appreciate that.
This is the Blue Toon Podcast.
As Jordan speaking about the Clark game on Saturday, always good to chat with him, Martin, and always good to get the updates in regards player injuries, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good that the club, especially in this last 5, 6, 7 months, have always been very transparent, and you know, we always appreciate Ryan or Jordan or any of the players coming on as well and giving us their thoughts and insights. And as you said, it was good to hear for Jordan tonight about the injuries and, you know, just a little bit of an update on what's going on at the club as well. So it was good.
So Scottish Cup tie on Saturday, as we've mentioned, it's a game that we're going to be heavy favourites in, which is a highly unusual position for us to be in. Are you expecting anything other than a Peterhead victory without being too disrespectful to our opponents on Saturday?
Well, I'd be, you know, hugely disappointed to be name make it through the tie without being disrespectful. As we've touched on in the recording with Jordan, they've changed their manager. They've had a difficult start to the season. But as always, you've got to be careful of a wounded animal. A new manager's coming in, as you notoriously get, you do get a new manager bounce. But yeah, I'd be expecting us to go through in the tie. Like I said, I'd be disappointed if we didn't.
They're currently sitting 17th in the Highland League. No wins, 4 draws, 7 losses in their 11 games. They've also conceded 37 goals in that time, which is the most in the Highland League. So they've changed their manager as well to try and rectify that. This might be a game too early for the new manager, though.
I would like to think so. I think the appointment being made maybe a couple of weeks ago, you maybe would think he'd had time on the training field to work on things. You know, they're not going to have many training sessions between him being appointed on the Sunday night and the game on the Saturday. But he'll be looking for a strong performance from his side. He's wanting to know the characters that he's got in his squad. But like I said, I'd be expecting us to get through the tie with, you know, not being disrespectful to Clough.
But they did beat Invrulu Locos in the previous round 1-0, so there is that kind of thing to it.
Yeah.
How often do you see a team really poor in the league but do quite well in a cup?
Yeah, you see, it can happen. Some clubs are just better suited to cup competitions. But, you know, from our point of view, we're hoping that's not going to be Clough on Saturday. We're hoping to go through in the tie.
And it's a nice game to get as well, because it's been nearly 24 years since we've played each other. Obviously, since we came out of the Highland League. I think the last game was back in December 1999, a 0-0 draw. I really hope it's negative a 0-0 draw again on Saturday. But it'd be a nice one to get almost like a Highland League game again.
Yeah, and you're looking for a few, you know, guys to come through the gates as well, to even get a good crowd. It's, as like you said, it's been a long time since we've last played them. It's a home tie in the cup, obviously in the second round, before we can go through to the third. And then hopefully if you get through the third as well, it's looking slightly further ahead. You can get a bit of money coming into the club as well, like we did a few years ago with Dundee. So, yeah, if we get through Clough, which I'm fully expecting us to do so, you're just hoping for a home tie in the next round as well.
And you mentioned the crowd. Peterhead have announced that they're reducing the ticket prices for the game as well, which is a good sign, because there may have been, you know, people on the fence whether or not they're wanting to go, and they've reduced the prices too, which is obviously a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge survey, but there's a couple of guys at work. They were, exactly as you said, they were sitting on the fence. They've seen the article come out on Facebook or Twitter or however they've seen it, and this is actually, they're going to go along the game now. So it shows you a couple of pounds dropping that ticket prices will make a difference, but it's good of the club as well. It's something they didn't need to do, but they have.
That's just because a lot of you work with our cheap buggers, that's what it is.
That is the opinion of you and the opinion of you only. But I'll pass on your regards.
Yes, you do that. As I said, new manager, a former Peterhead player, Conor Gethin's played about 18 months back in 2010, 2011. So he'll be making a return. We'll want to make a stamp on it. Jordan was a little bit hesitant to sort of say whether or not there will be changes. I still think they'll try and put the strongest team as they would like. He did mention, though, that Andy McCarthy will be, if he is a doubt, won't take part.
Yeah, I think there will be a few changes. I think guys have maybe been on the fringes. I mean, do you really need to play Rory McAllister? Obviously, we're aware of his age. You've got Aaron Reid that's done well since coming off the bench. You touched on the recording as well, Caleb Goldie. Maybe he hasn't featured as much as he would like. Joe McKee's played a lot of games. Does he come out? But then are you going to do that as well as Andy? Robert Ward? There is we've touched upon it all season, there is quality throughout the squad. They all deserve a chance, and this is maybe the game where you maybe make to look a few changes. But I certainly don't think taking in players like Aaron Reid, Robert Ward, Caleb Goldie weakens the squad either. So that is the advantage of having such a good squad in terms of the quality we've got.
And David Wilson's another one as well. He's been on the fringes and probably did a decent job as well. So if you want to say Ryan wants to take a game off, you know, he's got a capable substitute.
Yeah, absolutely. You've also got Jordan himself. You know, he hasn't played much football. Obviously, circumstances have changed with being the player manager. You've got Ryan, player manager. He played a lot of games, so they have a change in the dugout as well. So, yeah, like I said, I think whoever we bring in, there's quality. But no matter what team plays, I'd still be expecting to go through in the tie.
And it's a good opportunity as well to get, again, without sort of being overly disrespectful, it's a chance to get a few goals, again, much like the Elgin game.
Yeah, guys, Aaron Reid, a prime example, you know, a couple of goals for him, maybe getting a good 60, 70 minutes run out would be invaluable for him. Players chipping in, you know, Caden Chances, he fancy a few more as well. So, yeah, there's quality throughout the squad. I think they'd all be looking for a clean sheet to start with and a few goals, you know, and I think they'd be happy with their afternoon's work.
Okay, now on the Blue Team podcast, as ever, we'd like to get the opposition's take on what will be happening on Saturday's game, and this week's episode is no different. I'd like to say, joining me to get a take on Clach and their season so far is fan Ross Miller. Ross, welcome to the Blue Team podcast, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. How's been the weather been up with you guys? I don't think it's been as bad as it has been in certain parts, is it?
No, we've actually had it very lucky here. Like, on Saturday, I'm surprised our game got called off because the pitch was in perfect condition. It was heavy rain in late afternoon on Saturday, but that's been about it. It's not been that windy at all. And Inverness, we've been really lucky here.
Possibly just the travelling. Who was it? Nairn you were playing?
Only Nairn, yeah. So it was only 50 miles along the road. So I think both sets weren't too happy. But again, it is travel and you never know what could happen.
Yeah, that's like, I think all the Highland League games were off, weren't they?
Yeah, they got the league itself, they called all the games off. I think like Brona were meant to be playing Fraser, but that just wasn't going to happen at all.
No chance at all. So yeah, like us, you'll have a free weekend. Do you think that's going to make a difference in terms of the preparation that for Clach have maybe had?
I don't think it'd make too much of a difference, no. As you probably well aware, we got a new manager in yesterday, so he wasn't going to be taking the game on Saturday, so I think they're training tonight, and then he'll get the new ideas across the head for Saturday. But I think the boys actually needed a rest. I think they were playing Wednesday, Saturday for a couple of weeks in a row. We had some midweek games, cup games, and league games, so the boys might need a wee rest for a big game on Saturday.
Well, that's it. You're going to be fully prepared now, and obviously that takes you any potential niggles or injuries that might have occurred for such a big game.
Well, that's it. On last Wednesday, we played Forest away, and I think about three or four boys came off with injuries. We just got a new defender that signed for us, and he's been solid since he came in, and he went down with an injury as well, so hopefully he'll be okay for Saturday. Maybe this wee rest this weekend would have helped.
So let's talk about Clach's season then. Not being the best of starts for you, sitting second bottom of the Highland League. As you mentioned, you've changed your manager as well, and some heavy defeats as well. I think you've conceded the most goals in the Highland League as well this season. How has the season been so far?
See, the most frustrating thing about this, the start of the season, is we played Bucky in the first game of the season at home, and we got beat 3-2, a last-minute winner from Becky, and Clach played some superb football. We really did play well. And all the fans were like, if we continue this, we're going to have a very good season. And for some reason, it just has not, it's just not fired on from there. A couple of the games we've been unlucky. It's like we've been going away to these like teams that are going to be at the top of the league. We've fought very well against them. Like, we're 3-0 down at Brora, took it back to 3-3, end up getting beat 7-3. Mm. I mean, it's just, it's been so frustrating. But ever since, got the manager left, well, got sacked. He, the boys have put in some good performances midweek, past couple of games with Blair and Marty in charge. They've been fighting for everything. We've been unlucky away to Banks of Dee, drew 2-2, should have won the game. Away to Forest, drew again. All these teams are good. We should have got results there, but it's looking up now. So, yeah, it's a wee bit frustrating, but I think we will kick on from here.
And you've got your new manager in. He was announced at the weekend. Conor Gethin's also a former Peterhead player. So obviously, his, ironic, he's going to be taking charge of his first game. It will be at Balmoor as well. Was the change, first of all, was the change required, do you think? Was it something that most of the supporters were looking for?
Yeah, the change was definitely needed. The previous manager, he was... they were trying to play football out from the back. I mean, you need players to do that. I mean, there's only, in my opinion, there's only certain teams in the whole country that can do that, play out from the back. Us playing out from the back just doesn't, the high press against us just did not work at all. So, no, the change was definitely needed. I think the last manager lost the dressing room as well. So, yeah, change needed. So, hopefully we'll see what happens.
And what do you think Conor can bring to the table then?
To be honest, I'm not too sure. It's a bit of a hard one, to be honest, because like, he's a Nurn legend and Nurn are our rivals. I just actually listened to his interview there about 25 minutes ago. He said he's wanting to play some attacking football, hard-working players. I don't know. It's like Conor is always going to be a villain to Clough fans. It's just the amount of heartbreak he's done for Clough fans over the last-minute goals and stuff like that. But hopefully, I don't know. He's taken in some Robbie Duncanson as well with him, who's played with. He was at Clough before. They're all strikers. Blair Lawdy's a coach on the as well. He was a winger. So hopefully we'll play some nice attacking football. But hopefully that'll happen.
But because he's, as you said, he's an Erne guy, he's an Erne legend, does that mean he's already fighting against some of the support? Does it matter if he does? He's always going to be an Erne guy?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, if he... especially if he wins on Saturday, I think a few heads will soon turn, but it will all be hard. Like I say, he's so many heartbreaks. He used to love winding us up as well. It's a bit hard to accept them just now, but I'm sure we'll come round to that. Some of the fans are happy with him, which is fair enough, but there's a few other people in for the job as well, which let's just say Conor wasn't my first choice anyway.
But if he gets the results, and it's a results business after all that will be forgotten about.
Yeah, it is indeed, yeah. It's all about the results, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully, if he gets or shoots us up the table, because you can get relegated from the Highland League now as well, so that's what we need to watch as well. I don't think that will happen, though. I think we've got, our team are too good to get relegated. And the club's far too big to get relegated as well.
Yeah, let's talk with some of the players then. For those of us that maybe didn't attend the Highland League as well as we used to, who are the kind of players that we should be looking out for? Who's the ones that could cause us problems on Saturday?
Honestly, apart from our league position, we have some cracking players at Clough. We really do. We just got Dougie McLennan back. He's our goalkeeper. He's a cracking goalkeeper. We just got a young boy in, Troy Cooper. He'll be a cracking... He just needs time in the Highland League. He's only 19 years old, but he will be a cracking player in the Highland League. Troy. Conor Vance, hopefully, if he's... He went off injured. I don't know. Hopefully, he'll be back in time for that. He's a good presence up front. We've got a couple of good players. We've got a boy, Ben Cormack, alone from Elgin. He's a good young boy, but good defender. Keith Mason again, good defender. Clough have a good solid team. They just need to get taken in the right direction.
It sounds like you've got the players there, but they just weren't clicking for whatever reason.
It's just not even, they're young as well. It's a very young team we have. They just need experience at Highland League level. That's all they need. I mean, they were there last year, but this year they need to kick on from there now. We do have some cracking players. We just need maybe a wee bit more experience in the team. Hopefully Conor will take some boys in. we'll have some good experience, then we'll kick on. But no, I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday.
It's a strange one for you guys, maybe a strange one, but for you guys, I guess it's a game that you're expected to lose. You've got nothing to lose, basically. So it's just maybe the shackles will be off slightly, a bit of freedom maybe, away from the Highland League.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, like I say, it just depends how Connor sets up on Saturday as well, because like I say, usual will have most possession, I'm sure. But in my opinion, I've always got the mindset anything can happen in football, so you never know. Anything can happen. We are flying just now as well, so it's going to be a difficult game, but yeah, shackles will be off. There's no pressure on us at all, so just hopefully the boys go out and enjoy it.
And how do you see the game going overall? Do you think it will be, you know, almost Clark sitting in a little bit, or do you expect them to come out a little bit?
I think we'll be sitting in. We'll sit in, hopefully get something on the counter attack. We've got a couple of fast players up top. Like I say, if we can just hold on for a wee while, maybe don't score too early and make you as angry, you never know what will happen. Hopefully that's what happens anyway. I'll even take a draw just now and play it back at Clough Park the week after.
Well, we didn't want that, I tell you that. but it's nice to get that the sort of almost like an old fashioned Highland League tie again. It's been a long time since we've been in the Highland. I think it's 24 years since we last played each other. So, in terms of nostalgia, it must be bringing up some good memories for some of the support.
I think it'll be more for the older. I'm only 32, so I can't really remember Peterhead being in the Highland League. But for the older boys, the boys who we travel to the games with, they've been going since, like old Donny George, he's been going. He can remember the teams from back in 1950 odd, so he knows that they'll be loving it. We're taking a good support through on Saturday as well, so. Yeah, I'm sure the old boys will be loving that.
And I noticed as well that Peter have reduced the ticket prices as well. Do you think that's going to be a help for the potential supporters that may have been sort of sitting on the fence?
Yeah, well, we've sold a full bus through. So, but no, I just seen that about an hour ago that he's reduced the prices. Fair play to us. Should be a good crowd there on Saturday. A good old Scottish Cup tie.
Yeah, that's hopefully the weather holds off and plays the game a little bit, because kind of had another game being postponed because of the weather. So just finally then, what's your score prediction going to be? How do you see it going?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. That's what I'm going to go for. I've got to have faith in my team. So no, I'll go for a 1-1 draw. I'll take that all day.
Good stuff. Right, Ross, thanks very much for coming on. Absolute pleasure to speak to you. Wish you well for the rest of the season. Hopefully, not too much luck on Saturday with the new manager bounce when it comes to that on Saturday. But thanks for coming on, appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. Thanks again to Jordan Brown for joining myself and Martin. As always, it's good to chat with the managers. Also, my thanks goes to Ross Miller for joining me to preview Saturday's game with Clough, and of course to Martin Smith for his insight as always. Big thank you to everyone for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.